Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. No case in the Mondays tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. It's a big doubleheader starting at the United Center. Blackhawks still hanging around in the playoff hunt. Alligator blood. They look to keep pace as they host the Canucks. Pregame Live begins our coverage 1 hour from now. Then it's game time, 7:30. Meanwhile, over on NBC Sports Chicago Plus, Bulls wrap up their road trip in the desert for a big lottery battle against the Sun. Bulls pregame live tips off the festivities at 8:30, then it's game time at 9. Both games available on the My Teams app. Meanwhile, let the tournament begin. NCAA bracket is set. Zion leads the top overall seed, but can the presumptive number one overall pick lead the Blue Devils to the national title? And is he the biggest reason why we're watching the tournament? And welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show. He played in the NFL. He played at Iowa. You can hear him on the Score. He does a lot of the Pac-12 football games. He's Anthony Heron, Big Ant Heron on Twitter. He is David Haw, co-host of the Mully and Haw Show, also writes for the Chicago Tribune. Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times. All right, let's get started. We have college basketball aplenty to talk about. The NCAA tournament is finally here. The pairings are out. And I ask you, David Haw, is Zion Williamson the single biggest reason that casual fans will pay attention, or is it the thrill of March Madness?
Well, I think people would watch anyway, but I think more people will watch this tournament because of Zion Williamson, certainly in Chicago. This is the prism through which Bulls fans will see the tournament. They will see Zion Williamson, number one, with the Duke on the front of his jersey, and imagine him at the United Center changing the franchise for the next decade. That's the way you watch it as a Bulls fan. You want to get a chance to get this transformational type of talent because that's exactly what he is. Duke would be Duke without him, but Duke is a special, and this tournament is potentially historic. It reminds me of 2003 with Carmelo. It has a potential to be 2012 with Anthony Davis. When you have a freshman this good, potentially this formative, you stare.
I don't know that Duke is Duke with him because Duke is almost likable if you squint now because of him. And, you know, you ask about the casual fan. You know, I made my wife sit down and watch him a couple of days ago. And he plays with so much, I hate to say the word joy, but joy. He has so much fun. And you sit there and you wonder, I mean, the last time we saw somebody like that having as much fun as he does, is college Shaq? Is that
maybe.
Is that a reach?
Okay, so here's a question for you. When was the last time the casual fan even said, I have to watch that guy? Because Anthony Davis kind of exploded on the scene. Right. Great player, but I don't think people that aren't big basketball fans paid attention. Carmelo, probably not. Shaq might be the last one.
You did that more for universities. Once you had the one
teams,
and done
right?
advent of it was very different. You know, it was when you had players sticking around for 2 or 3 years, college basketball was so different back then. But now that you have the best talent in the game is only around for one season, the populace doesn't really get to know them. The thing with Zion, though, is that he came in with multiple millions of social media followers. So there was a community that was already aware of him.
This is my favorite play of the weekend. That pass was sick.
But, Anthony, it almost goes – you're right. But I think it almost goes beyond the social media following because he backs it up with a game that suggests that it's generational, right?
That pass.
This is the best college – this is the best young talent people are saying since LeBron James. And what has LeBron James done for the NBA? People – maybe that's exaggerating. Maybe it's overstating it. But at this point in his development – people are attaching that sort of significance to what he can do on the court.
Here is our Sports Talk Live poll question. What's the biggest reason why you will watch the NCAA tournament? Betting on it, Zion, other NBA prospects, my team, or other? Look, I'll watch it because I'm a basketball junkie. Mm-hmm. I'll also watch it because I'm going to have a bracket filled out.
Oh, wait. But when will you have the bracket filled out? And it's Monday night at 6:04. And if you tell me your bracket's not filled out now, I will laugh at you like I laugh at you every March.
Well, are you a Tuesday guy or a Thursday guy, though?
No, I'm a Sunday night 7:15 p.m. guy. You've got to just go with the gut cap. Just forget about all your research.
What if Temple or Belmont look really good tomorrow night?
Okay. Well, Belmont is going to look very good tomorrow night. I have them winning two games.
You know, VCU went to the Final Four from a play-in game.
Fine. Great. Go with that conviction. Do something. Fill out a bracket. Don't just sit there and say, I'm going to wait until Thursday morning at 10:59, and then I'm going to submit my bracket. Come on, Cap.
You got Belmont beating Maryland then, it sounds like.
He might not have Maryland win in the first game.
That's what it sounds like. Because I think, Belmont's in the play-in or whatever.
Belmont can win two games. I think they can win two games.
That means they're going to beat Maryland.
Because they had a good year. I mean, that's not a great conference, certainly. But somebody has to be this year's Loyola. And why haven't you filled out your bracket yet?
I have research to do.
That's not good radio content, Cap, if you wait until Wednesday
I will
night.
Have it done by tomorrow.
Everybody that listened to your radio show this morning had their bracket filled out before you did. Okay, they're listening to you because they want to know what does Cap think. And you're saying, I'm going to wait until
tomorrow. Do you have
tomorrow.
Yours done?
I had mine done last night at 7:15.
Molly have his done?
At 6:15 this morning. Yeah, we had ours
during
done.
During a commercial break?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but no, it's fun because everyone can relate to, you know, going out on a limb, picking the upset, picking the team that you don't think anyone else is going to believe in. There is no Loyola this year, though. That's the thing. I mean, locally, in the last 2 years, we've been spoiled.
Well, Bradley.
America's team. team. The Bradley Braves.
The new Duke. The team that everybody's going to root against.
They wanted a brand. They got a brand. Irrelevance. That is Bradley.
Wow. Well, look, I love watching Zion. Yep. I lust after the thought that he could end up in a Bulls uniform. I'm just not convinced a team that's 339th in three-point shooting can win the championship.
Yeah, and they have a short bench, too. And part of that is if you're going to recruit all of these great players – you know, good luck trying to talk somebody to come in and be your eighth man. They don't have enough shooting. Their bench is, But, man, I mean, if they're out, could you imagine if they lost in the Sweet 16? I mean, CBS would just walk into the ocean.
Do you think that's a big enough factor, though, to pick against a team that physically is as gifted? Cap, they have –
they're loaded.
Let's take a step back. They don't shoot the three very well. Statistically, it's bad. They have three potential top five picks in their starting
lineup.
And
they also defend the three exceptionally well, which limits your need to have to rely on the three.
And they played in big moments.
Michigan State fans are really upset because the Spartans won, they won the co-championship in the regular season in the Big Ten, then won the Big Ten tournament. They've got three of their, four best players who've been injured for significant portions of the season, and they're on the same side of the bracket in the same region with Duke. So the number one overall seed has deepest conference champion in the same brackets. Michigan State, to get to the Final Four, will have to go through Duke. It's going to be a fun game. I don't see Michigan State being able to go through Duke to get there, though. And so Duke, that's the best competition they're going to have on their way.
We have Tom Izzo on our radio show tomorrow, and I'm excited to hear what he says. But for me, hey, man, he went to the Final Four as a 7 seed. He got knocked out in the first weekend as a 1 seed. You got to be good people.
I don't know who this Cap is. This your guy. He got hosed, Cap.
I don't agree.
Michigan State won the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
They did everything they could to get the best possible seed.
They beat Michigan three times.
You got to be good people to win the title.
Their resume is arguably better than Gonzaga's, and they got a number 2 seed.
Gonzaga beat Duke with Zion.
Yeah, and when? November? Was that December?
That was the third game of the season.
I can tell you what it was. It was the night before Thanksgiving.
It was 2018. I know that. And we're in 2019. And, Cap, look. Gonzaga is a great team, but Michigan State winning the Big Ten, the deepest league in the tournament.
They won it twice.
I don't know how they get not only a number 2 seed, but relegated to the East region because of geography, where they have to meet up with Duke at some point in time. That is an injustice.
And then the crazy thing is, they went with the geography argument. Michigan is playing in Des Moines the first 2 rounds also. So at least just put them in the other region where Michigan is. Michigan's in the West. They're playing in Des Moines the first 2 rounds. But Michigan right now gets to play against Gonzaga at some point if they both advance on the way. Right now, Michigan State, they could have just flopped them with Michigan. It would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah, I'm not that.
Do you think Michigan has a better draw than Michigan State? Because if the answer is yes, and you could argue that it is yes, the Big Ten tournament meant nothing. Nothing.
They'd already decided. That's the thing. It came off like they already decided
before
the Sunday evening game.
Although Jim Delaney's leaving. So if you're the Big Ten commissioner to be named later, aren't you concerned about the timing of your Big Ten final?
But shouldn't you weigh, I mean, Michigan State has a grisly injury that happens. Does that impact how you project them to play?
No.
Does that make them a weaker entrant than
when Aaron's went out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he that important to their their march?
He matters. They played without him recently. He had a back problem where he missed a few games. So Kyle Arns has missed some time here lately. Anyway, the problem for Michigan State is that it seems like the committee ended up saying, one, because of the Sunday evening Big Ten championship game, they had already decided Michigan State was going to be a two seed. But more importantly, they had already been without Josh Langford for a long time. They already had Nick Ward out for a long time. Then Kyle Arns goes down. So the committee's looking at them and saying, we don't project that they're going to be one of the four best teams in the country. While their resume, and David's right, is better than Gonzaga's. The totality of Michigan State's resume is better than theirs.
They have 12 victories over quad one teams.
They've got more
Gonzaga,
quad one wins than
four.
Anyone.
Okay, I'm not a math major, but I know that's a lot. That's a big difference. All right? And I have Iowa going out in the first round. Sorry.
First round. Come on.
I mean, really.
Come on. First round.
I mean, it's a 10-7 matchup, right?
They got Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's hot.
Cincinnati's very, very good.
They're coming in hot, Cap.
This is another thing that's going to end up being a bugaboo for a couple of these Big Ten teams is that you've got multiple regions where there's three Big Ten teams in them. So they're going to end up facing an opponent who's already seen them multiple times. Whereas for Michigan and Michigan State, some of these teams, if you go into the tournament with folks who haven't scouted you, who haven't played against you, you've got sort of this intrinsic advantage. I would see Iowa as one of those squads because they're really long, they shoot really well from the perimeter, they go to the free throw line a lot, but if you're facing another Big Ten squad who's already defended you multiple times this year, you don't have that same advantage.
I like Fran McCaffrey, but I just don't think this is going to be the year.
Don't get on his bad
side. I hope he doesn't yell at me for speaking that.
Don't get on his bad side.
I like Fran. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I like Fran. I've known Fran a long time. Back to when he was
White Magic.
Phelps' assistant.
That was his nickname back in the day. When he was a street baller in New York, they called him White Magic.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Next time you talk to him, make sure you say that.
White Magic. Will you fill out a bracket?
Yeah, because I do a bunch of radio now. I haven't filled out a bracket since it was a 64-team tournament. But I'm going to do it this year.
You do.
I do, but do you know what I do? I do the draft when you draft eight teams with eight other people. Mm-hmm. And so
that's
you've got
so weak, Patrick.
Why? No, it's
go
great.
Go out on a limb.
Why is it great?
It's great because it allows you to
you
focus your mental
decisions.
Energy on, yeah. Well, and no, but all 64 teams are chosen.
Isn't
so you've got
chosen for you.
Well, isn't the fun I get to pick it.
Being wrong,
I'm going to fill out a bracket too. Okay. What the fun in being wrong? What is this thing?
And risking being wrong. I mean, you pick the upsets, right? You pick teams that you don't think. Like if you, I know you haven't filled yours out yet. I'm not going to pressure anymore. But if you had to pick a team that you don't think anyone else is in on that will go far in the tournament, who would that be?
Mm-hmm. Yale.
See?
Really?
I wouldn't have guessed Yale.
How are we defining far, though? How many games?
Two games?
Is Yale gonna
I mean, if you
no,
get the
Sweet 16. Because I think
Sweet 16 is an accomplishment.
I'd have to look at the bracket again. They would take out LSU in round one.
What a scandal matchup that would be. My scandal is worse than your scandal.
Right.
And I will beat you by three.
Right.
And then
they get Louisville. They get Maryland next.
Speaking of scandal, they
How about Louisville, Minnesota?
That's the best. When the NCAA says that they don't plan these sort of storylines,
right, but let's put Richard Pitino against the school his dad's suing.
Now, from a basketball perspective, you would think that Minnesota actually would have an advantage because Rick Pitino would have some good information on the team that his son is playing.
Richard, let me tell you how to beat these guys.
He knows their preferences, so to speak.
I mean, you would think so. But Minnesota's playing pretty well too. I think I picked them to beat Louisville.
If you were Rick, would you sit right behind your son so you're in every national TV shot? Would you sit
he's
on his
Italy,
bench?
Isn't he?
He's in Greece coaching basketball.
But you come back from Greece for this?
A charter plane.
Yes.
I would land at whatever airport.
I would actually dress as the gopher.
Just do like Papa John's guy. Papa John's guy's like at the Kentucky games, just leaning in, looking at everybody's selfies,
Rick just
photobombing folks.
John Schnatter.
Yeah.
Rick could just drink Ouzo on the flight all the way out, get there. It'd be great.
That's a bad matchup for the NCAA because you don't want people remembering that during this matchup, right? Because
They should have flipped it.
It's nice to have a sense of humor, but come on.
We have one school in our state that will play in the NCAA tournament. It's Bradley. And unfortunately, they're better known now for banning Dave Reynolds from a media session. Dave Reynolds, their longtime 29-year beat reporter. And it became a national story.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. You know, this is not just a media story. It's the failure to recognize what a moment like this can mean to a university. We have to look no further than Loyola, the example last year. Look at all the goodwill that was created. Look at all the ways that it benefited the university.
All the money that was made.
All the money that was generated. But even more than that, Patrick, and I think that is the main thing. But you look at the stature and the way that the image of the university was enhanced. Bradley missed the boat here, and they tried to apologize, but it's hard to unring a bell.
Right.
And what they did in banning a local reporter from access just because he was being objective in writing what he saw, that's it's unforgivable and it's unacceptable, and they should be embarrassed.
This is a team that is now making the postseason for the fifth time since I was born. They're lucky they've
first time in 13 years.
They're lucky they've had a beat writer for the last, how long was he there? 29 years.
29 years.
I mean that they have interest leading into this season, that somebody in the media cared enough to ask hard questions and probably easy questions too for the last 5 years when they were irrelevant, or the last 12 years when they were irrelevant outside of Peoria. And now to come down on him at the moment that finally, when they feel like they have enough power that they can be real manly and box him out.
Petty.
Yeah, it's petty, and they don't understand how the media works.
That's the right word.
And there should have been somebody in that office, whether it was the SID or the athletic director or the president or the coach, we don't know how far up this thing goes, who sat there. There needed to be somebody with common sense to sit there.
Well, by the way, Shannon Ryan's article in the Tribune, excellent.
Yeah, she had a great line. She said, when you're trying to be Cinderella, you shouldn't act like the evil stepsister. And that was well put. And I think when Chris Reynolds, the athletic director, is on the selection committee, so he's in New York and he's not really on campus when this is occurring, it shows you, you know, just the lack of how much they need that leadership, because it was lacking in leadership.
He had to have gone, happened?
Right, yeah. I need to get back. Well, you can't get back. You have to pick the
you're
field.
You're sequestered.
Yeah, you're sequestered. It's unfortunate. I mean, because look, Cap, you call games for Bradley. You've been out there. You know how much Peoria cares about college basketball in that community. And here we are, their first tournament appearance in 13 years, and we're talking about a really bad decision, a really, you know, uninformed decision, and a really rash decision. Right. And it's unfortunate, because they deserve, the players who are you know, making this history deserve more than that.
Well, when I was on the Score over the weekend, that was one thing. We had a Bradley caller who said, you guys should be talking about the players. This is a controversy created by the media. It's not. No one made this up. No one's lying on Bradley University. So if you have a certain perspective where you're coming at it from a different angle and saying, hey, I just want to pay attention to the players, that's great. That's your prerogative. But this is a firestorm that Bradley brought upon themselves. They didn't need to do it.
Correct.
Petty is the exact right word for it. They had an opportunity now to puff their
chest
out.
But I will tell you, I thought it was – Dave Reynolds, I thought, handled himself with a lot of class.
He did, yeah.
And then the picture of him and Brian Wardle, who I like a lot, he and Brian, arm in arm, were moved.
Could you have done
this.
That? I thought about that because, you know, having, you know, Patrick,
well, that's,
you've been
the, that's what I was going to say. It's the
could I have done what? Been Dave Reynolds?
Been Dave Reynolds.
Taking and, the picture?
Yeah, yes.
I don't know that I could have. But see, as that, a beat guy, an ill will thing. That's a, as a beat writer, you don't want to be the story. It's not about me. It's about the team. And when it became about him, I'm sure that put him in an uncomfortable spot, is that he could either take a picture and smile and say, we're past it, or not. And I'm not sure he personally wins either way.
Yeah. I think I would hope that I could have.
Right.
I knowing
because you want to move
which
on,
which means you couldn't. Which means you couldn't.
No, I could have. Yeah.
I think you could have.
I could. I think you could have.
Because you want to move on.
I'm all see, for second.
But
chances.
Don't you have to believe that their apology is genuine and not the result of just getting murdered?
No,
on social
I don't
media?
Believe that's genuine. No,
I don't
know, Patrick. No, I don't think it's genuine at all. I think they got caught, and the reason they.
Because I think it's got a life of its own that they never expected.
They never expected, because why? They're so myopic. And that's the problem here. Brian Wardle should be thankful for every second chance that he's received, that he's got his team in the tournament. He maybe, you know, a lot of athletic directors wouldn't have given him a second chance. So while he gets it and takes advantage of it and they're in the tournament, he's going to slam the door on a reporter for being objective. Shame on him. So,
All right. Yeah,
you would have been magnanimous, and you would have posed for the photo, and you would have driven home, and you would have called your friend, and you said, can you believe what I just did?
And then you would have asked the first hard question at the next day's press conference. That's how you
Yeah, you would have. Right. Shot or no shot?
Shot or no shot. You're not going to cover the 20 against Michigan State. Bulls aren't winning, but they're not going down without a fight. Jimmy Boylan brings his road dog mentality to L.A., and Doc Rivers, none too pleased with it. Could this actually be the moment that brings the Bulls even closer together? That plus, we'll discuss the greatest facts in the history of the world.
for Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle. Crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Well, you had 1995, Michael Jeffrey Jordan sent a simple fax, two words, I'm back. Then proceeded to get 55 points in a game against the Knicks, led the Bulls to three more titles. It was 24 years ago today. That simple fax changed sports in our town forever. So I ask you guys this question. Shot or no shot, it's the happy, and I got to give Danny Zetterman full credit, it is the happiest moment in Chicago sports history.
Unrelated to a championship, right?
Unrelated to a championship.
That was the way that you phrased it.
Right.
It's a really good question because it forces you to think about what's happened that had the same sort of impact. You know, when you look at the Khalil Mack trade, which was great, didn't result in a championship. You look at the Rick Sutcliffe trade in 84, which did. But did you have the same reaction in 1984 when Joe Carter was traded for...
Yeah, it led to a division champion.
A division champion, not a world championship.
Right.
When Michael Jordan faxed and said, I'm back, that created the end of the dynasty. It was a second chapter to one of the more historic phases.
Theo Epstein coming to the Cubs.
That's a big one, too. That's a good one. But you still didn't know.
Could you argue that the Cubs making the World Series surpasses that? It's not a championship. It's a... league championship,
no.
I guess. But, I mean, I guess still you've got part of town that doesn't.
My argument was that it was kind of a fait accompli that we knew Michael was coming back. So it was like, yeah, the fax is cool, but we already knew he was coming back. But when you think about it, that moment that crystallized it, pretty cool.
How would I was a sophomore in high school when it happened. So for me, I was when the initial retirement after 93 happened, we actually listened to it like in middle school. I guess I was in eighth grade at that point. And instead of having class, they actually brought in a radio and we listened to the press conference of his first retirement. It's like it was the Challenger shuttle or something like we were sitting there as a class, not learning, just listening to Michael Jordan retire. Then 2 years later, I didn't have to listen to him unretire. We just had the facts. But that was what it was for me as an adolescent with that story cycling over that 2 year span of, you know, literally almost in tears in class when he retires with the rest of my classmates and my basketball teammates to now he's coming back. And it wasn't just a Chicago story. It was a national story.
It was national.
In some ways international.
The Pacers game the next day was on national television. Yeah. It was 17 months since his retirement. There was a sense of anticipation that what would happen, what actually ended up happening, what happened. So there was this sort of inevitability about it. I don't think it matches anything else. Now, certain things have reminded us of that moment. The Khalil Mack trade, the Jay Cutler trade.
I threw that one out
now,
today.
Now, look, people will scoff now because of what happened after the fact. But April 2nd, 2009, this place, Chicago, was up for grabs. Up for grabs. Oh, my gosh. The Bears actually traded for a franchise quarterback. That was before we knew Jay being Jay, and I don't care, and all that stuff, and very cavalieri. But that moment, that day, the excitement level in this town was off the charts.
Addison Russell, I remember you being excited about that a couple years ago when
no.
they traded for him. I'm just giving you an argument.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned you mentioned the MJ thing. I had the exact same experience in grade school with Magic.
Okay.
Because I was on the West Coast, and he was our guy.
Yeah.
You know, when he retired, obviously, that was a global story. But, you know, rather than having, you know, sixth period, we gathered around and listened to that.
Yeah.
What was your biggest Padre moment in San Diego?
The one against the Cubs.
I threw out this morning, what was the saddest moment?
Oh, geez.
And he
had to go dark.
He threw out to me today when he came to the station the day Walter Payton died.
That's tough.
I think you have to
exclude
death
from
this
conversation.
Yeah, how do we not make this really dark?
Right, but if you leave that out and it's just like a moment in sports other than that.
Saddest?
San Diego beating the Cubs in 84.
That's a game-related thing.
What's your personal one?
What's your personal
one? For me, it was when the year before the Bulls went on the first three-peat when they lost to Detroit in seven games.
Really?
I left the house. I was inconsolable. Left the house, walked around the block in tears. Just could not believe the Pistons had gotten
Cody Parkey's in the top 10 on that list, isn't he?
Come
in terms of saddest
Patrick.
Moment? I mean, do we forget how excited the city
aside.
Was? No, but do we forget how excited everybody game. Was?
How many blah, horrifically blah, blah. Terrible things okay. are there in Chicago sports? We're not going back to the Billy Goat on this.
I'll be here all day. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, so I could see Parkey being in there.
In recent sports fans' memories, here's the worst. Derrick Rose going down April 12th, 2012.
That's a good one.
April 28th.
Bingo.
It was whatever day it was, in April of 2012. Because of everything he represented for with the Bulls' trajectory and what the Bulls could have been with him healthy.
We thought they were going to win a title there.
Come on. He was the MVP, the youngest MVP in the league. He went down on that day, and I was there, and that was the saddest story professional sports-wise I've ever covered.
And the 86 and 87 Bears both losing at home to the Washington Redskins when you thought they're going to win another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
First round of the playoffs.
I don't know how you can top Bartman. Maybe top's the wrong word.
Bartman's right. Bartman's right up there, Cap. Come on.
Right up there.
Yeah.
84 Cubs.
And with
84 Cubs
is a bad one. With Derrick Rose going down, though, with the advent of having the perspective that LeBron was going to continue to dominate the East, I don't think until sometime here recently, if D. Rose was still around, the Bulls weren't going to surpass.
I don't think
what
you knew
Heat
that at the time,
the
though, Anthony. I don't think you felt that.
Well,
that's
what I'm saying. We're perspective.
What you felt at the time was a sense that this is the Bulls' time. They were going to. They were combating the super team in Miami with their depth and their defense and their role playing.
And it was
and Derrick
like trying
Rose.
To get past the Pistons.
It was exactly that. Yeah. And Derrick Rose was the guy to lead them to back
you
to
had
the
this
championship.
Brash, tough coach. I mean, it was all there, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I loved it, but I didn't think D. Rose was leading the Bulls past anything LeBron was doing.
I don't
doing.
Know. I think you were in the
hated
minority.
Hated to see him get hurt, but
yeah. But that yeah. to me was. Being here for a long time, that was the saddest, I think, non-event related
that was brutal.
Story that I've covered in terms of pro sports.
And then the next game, they had him out there for like the jump ball.
Yeah.
And it was a bad mistake.
Bad mistake.
It was like cast a ball like, over the stadium.
We can't win. Derek's not here. There's no way we're going to win. And they didn't. You know, that was terrible.
That was it. So, anyway.
Thanks for bringing the mood up.
Yeah, we really need to go that direction. We
could just
kept talking about happy stuff.
Michael Jordan, 24 years ago today, I'm back, probably is the happiest moment in my sports
life. It changed
life.
Sports. It didn't just change Chicago. It changed sports around this entire country.
World.
All right,
world.
Moving on. Yes. So the other night, Jim Boylan got ejected in a game against the Clippers, as did Clippers coach Doc Rivers, and both guys barking at each other. It gets a little nasty here. And here's Jim Boylan right there at center court. He and Doc Rivers are barking at each other. And I loved it. Zach LaVine offered to pay a $7,000 fine, said he had our back. It seems to me like the culture in there is getting better.
Well, you know, Kep, you know I'm not a big guy for like the histrionics and maybe, you know, he could have probably handled it a little more professionally, but at the same time, this is who he is. This is as emotional as he is. He wants guys to buy in. He wants guys to be held accountable. I like the fact that he went back and slapped hands with his players. Yeah. I know that's the meatball inside of me, but I like it because it is true to himself. And Jim Boylan is not a guy that's going to rub a lot of people the right way, but he's not apologizing for the way that he is. He wears it on his sleeve, and that was another example of that.
I don't know. Accost the officials. What is he getting after Doc Rivers for? It feels to me like a little bit of it's not big enough to me. As the position of the head coach of the Chicago Bulls, you're in the NBA, you've got the big whistle now. I think it's a little small to be accosting the opposing coach about screens being set. They did call a foul on that one. Just move on.
Well, I'm not going to write sonnets about a guy who, when his team is down 15 with a minute left in the third quarter, decides to get himself tossed from a game. That happens all the time. That said, watching LaVine and watching how his players stuck up for him, if he's still around in a year or two, there's going to be a time when, you know, they might actually get players to come here willingly. And if so, the endorsements of these guys is going to matter. If LaVine can sit there and say, I know he looks like a meathead from afar, but believe me, he's got our best interests in mind. That's how you recruit.
Patrick,
that's how you get guys.
I've read sonnets that you've written about third down running backs that have no consequence on Sundays. You can get on board with Jim Boylan getting ejected from a game against Doc Rivers.
Do you know how hard it is?
Benny Cunningham.
That was
a good one.
I got a better one. Do you know how hard it is to find something that rhymes with Mizell?
Oh, see?
All right. Ryan Pace has been busy, and he still has some work to do. So what's next for the Bears GM? and have his draft priorities changed. Meanwhile, Carlos Rodon is the White Sox opening day starter. Dylan Cease is in the minors, and Michael Kopech rehabbing his injured elbow. So when are they pitching in the majors, and where does Rodon then fit in the rotation?